So we're on to Queen Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 19. Maya Javani Kachchanam. So Maya means deluding. Javanika is a curtain. So that's a Javanika up there. That we pull in front of the Lord. Achchanam.
Covered by.
Maya Javani Kachchanam. What's Javanika? And Achchanam? Maya Javani Kachchanam. Means?
Covered by
the curtain of Maya. It's like a curtain gets pulled over. Okay. Agna.
Ignorant.
Atoksajam. Beyond the range of material conception. Transcendental. Avyayam.
Irreproachable.
Agnyadhoksajam avyayam. Agnyadhoksajam avyayam. The meaning? Agna adhoksacham avyayam.
One cannot approach something not beyond the material senses because of ignorance.
Thank you.
Not.
Lakshyase. Observed. Mudadrusha, by a foolish observer. It's like a muda really means an ass, like a donkey. If a donkey, you know, sticks his head into an art gallery or something like that, what can he see? He'll walk around the city. He can't understand the infrastructure, how the electrical lines are working. He just looks around. Is there any grass here? You know, no. So a muda drisha, he's someone who sees like a donkey. Na lakshyase muda drisha. Nato. Natya. Daro. Yata. So, nata means an artist. Natya. Dara, dressed as a player. Yata, as. Nato natya doroyata. Maya javani kachchanam. Ajnad hoksajam avyayam. Nalakshyase mudadrisha. Nato natya doroyata. Maya javani kachchanam. Agnyad hoksajam avyayam. Nalakshyase mudadrisha. Nato nata doroyata.
Maya
javani kachchanam.
Agnyad
hoksajam avyayam. Shishe muda drisha. Nato natya doroyata.
Maya javani kachchanam.
Maya javani kachchanam.
Namavyayam.
Shishe muda drisha. Nato natya doroyata.
Maya
javani kachchanam.
Agnyad
hoksajam avyayam.
Nalakshyase
muda drisha.
Nato natya
daroyata. Ladies, Maya javani kachanam. Adhyadhokshacham avyayam. Nalakshase muradrisha. Nato natya dharo yata. Maya javani kachanam. Agnyad hoksa chamavyayam. Nalakshase mudadrisha. Nato natya dharo yata. Maya javani kachanam. Agnyad hoksa chamavyayam. Nalakshase mudadrisha. Nato natya daroyata. Again, the words for words. Maya. Deluding. Javanika. Curtain. Achchanam. Covered by. Agnya. Ignorant. Atoksajam. Being beyond the range of material conception. Transcendental. Avyayam, irreproachable. Na, not. Lakshyase, observed. Mudadrisha, by the foolish observer. Nata, artist. Natyadara, dressed as a player. Yata, as. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternal, irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord himself appears amongst us as Ramana Sringa Varaha, or in his original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Sri Krishna exhibited his humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying on the lap of his mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and he sucked out her life. She sucked out her very life also. Similarly, he lifted the Govardhan hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literatures like the Puranas, Itihasas, histories, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities as Vyas, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities of the line. He himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientist. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge. But it is not possible to know the Supreme Lord by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as atoksaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the woman class, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques, or churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temples, mosques, and churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatar Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Swatiti Namine Sri Barshabana Videvi Dayataya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Virayate Gora Virababa Bhumestvam Nirdesa Sajjanabriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Sri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nun Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tadvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kopadrumadha Srimad Radna Kara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govindadevo Krishna Vidhi Seva Manasmarami Srimandra Sarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Svanir Gopi Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Satya Vachaya Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Pralaya Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Ladvaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Maya Javani Kachanam Adnyad Hoksha Jamavyam Nalakshise Mudadrisha Nato Natya Doroyata. And the Lord Adhoksaja, A and Ksha, the last, first and last letters of the alphabet in the Sanskrit alphabet. And then Ja means that which is born of. So the Lord is whatever we can speak in the alphabet, we can endeavor to write something or say something, study, let it enter into our mind somehow. But the Lord is beyond that, even that. What we can conceive through the tools that we have, through the alphabet, the senses. Therefore, he's also known as Adhoksaja, because beyond whatever human tools we have through our brain and through the alphabet, he's inconceivable. We can't put those things together and then come up with understanding the Lord. He's beyond that. He reveals himself to those who surrender unto him. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyaschasma tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishitetananantaram. That if someone becomes his devotee and surrenders unto him, then he can reveal himself very easily. And as we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada's purport on the verse, Yachat Sarvata Sarvada, that because he's all-pervading, he's present everywhere, in every place, in all times and all circumstances, then he can reveal himself to anyone, regardless of whether one has facility or no facility. He's showed this many times for his devotees. There's a story given in the Nectar of Devotion about a great Brahmana who was very poor, but he was very devotional. And he wanted to worship the Lord, but he had no facility, really. But he heard a lecture in which the speaker was saying, even without any material facility, without any artik paraphernalia or any fancy temple, that you could also worship the Lord by meditation. He'll accept that also. So every day he would go and sit by the Ganga and he would go into his meditation. And as he went into meditation, he would think of ways to worship the Lord. So each day it became more and more elaborate. He got these golden water pots. I mean, why not? By meditation, you can bring in the nicest paraphernalia, go anywhere in the world and pick up some beautiful flowers and fruits. Anywhere, any planet you can go, and make so many nice arrangements for the Lord in your meditation. So that's what he was doing, and he was sitting there meditating like that, and he was every day cooking some sweet rice for the Lord. And as everybody knows, sweet rice is best when it's cold. In San Francisco at the Sunday feast, they used to serve it. It was so cold that it had ice blocks in it. It actually would freeze. And it was so nice, that sweet rice. Icy cold sweet rice. And so anyway, he was cooking the sweet rice. And in his meditation one day, because somehow or other he was in a hurry to make the offering on time in his meditation, he wasn't able to let the sweet rice cool sufficiently. So he was a little concerned whether it was cool enough, so he in his meditation, he put his finger just to touch a little bit of the sweet rice to see if it was cool enough. But actually, it was still very hot, so it burned his finger. And he jumped when he burned his finger in his meditation. And when he opened his eyes, he actually saw that his finger was burned from that. He had, you know, red mark there like you would when you burn your finger. And he was very surprised to see that. So in Vaikuntha, the Lord was observing his offering, and he began to laugh, to chuckle. And Lakshmiji was asking, why are you laughing? And he revealed that there's this Brahmin who's so devotional in his meditation, he's offering so many nice things, and now in his meditation he's burnt his finger. And out of great appreciation for the bhakti of this devotee, he sent his Vishnu Dutas to come and pick him up in an airplane and bring him back to Vaikuntha. And I have that picture in my house. There's an original picture that was done by a couple of devotees back in the 60s or 70s, an oil painting that Prabhupada liked and approved. And it's in the Nectar Devotion also, where you see him startled, looking at his finger, and then the Vishnu Dutas have just descended on their airplane in order to take him back home, back to Godhead. And there's also a story that Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling in South India, he came across a Brahmin who was illiterate. And he was sitting and reading the Bhagavad Gita, even though he couldn't read. And there were people in the town who would laugh at him because they thought it was a funny sight. They knew he was illiterate, and they saw him trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, going through it. And they were ridiculing him. They said, what are you going to read? You can't read. When Lord Chaitanya observed this Brahmin, he saw that he was emotional reading the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes tears would come from his eyes. And when he found out the situation, that he was illiterate, but he was reading the Bhagavad Gita anyway, he asked this Brahmin what his idea was, and he said that my spiritual master had given me the instruction that I should read Bhagavad Gita every day. So I'm following that instruction, but I'm illiterate, I can't read, so everyone's laughing at me. And Lord Chaitanya said, so why are you showing these spiritual emotions if you can't read Bhagavad Gita? And he said, well, I understand the story. I see the picture here, how Krishna is so kind that he is driving Arjuna. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's agreed to serve his pure devotee, and he's driving him on the chariot. And whenever I think of that, how kind Krishna is, then I begin to cry. And so Lord Chaitanya declared that you've actually understood Bhagavad Gita. Someone else may know all the shlokas, they may give so many erudite commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, but they may not know Bhagavad Gita. But you've understood it because you have devotion, you have bhakti. So the qualification for seeing Krishna is nothing material. It has to do with our loving devotion for him and how we approach him in a sincere mood. Sincere mood of surrender and service. And then he can reveal himself very easily to us. So those who are puffed up or who have some idea of dominating the Lord or misusing the philosophy of the Lord, they may sound like they are saying very knowledgeable things, but ultimately they're blocked from understanding the Lord. Maya javani kachanam ajhad hoksha jamavyayam nalakshase muda drisha nato natya daro yata. That the Maya energy of the Lord covers the understanding of such people from actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's acting in this world. But if someone's simply very faithful and believes in the Lord and hears submissively, then the Lord can reveal himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda have appeared in this age of Kali when everyone's got some opinion about everything and everyone's arguing with everyone else. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. No one can agree on anything practically. There's fighting going on at every level. I probably described this type of rancor and disagreement by telling a story of how one time two men were walking down the street and they found a piece of paper on the ground and it had a tear in it or a cut. And one of them, they looked at the paper and they forensically studied it. And one of them said, "I think that this paper has been cut by scissors. Obviously, look how this cut has come on this paper." And the other one said, "No, that's a tear. No cut, tear." And I said, "No, cut. No, tear. Cut, tear. Cut, tear. Tear, cut." Back, forth, back, forth. They argued as they were walking along, and then it became more and more heated. That one was saying tear, the other saying cut. So the one who said tear, he was a little stronger. So he grabbed the man who said cut, and he threw him into the river and said, "Okay, admit it now." And the other man said, "No, it was cut. Tear, say tear." So he jumped in after him and he started to plunge him under the water and said, admit that it was a tear. So he began plunging the man's head under the water. And he was drowning, actually. The bubbles were coming up. And as he was dying under the water, he put his hand up above the surface and he went like this. And this is the there are so many different little points of argument in the age of Kali Yuga, but if one wants to know the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends Tarko Pratishta. That don't be a tarko means to argue about things by speculation and try to figure it out for yourself. But you Bhagavatam recommends you should accept the authority of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the authority of the great devotees, and don't be a tarki. A tarki is somebody who's perpetually arguing about these types of things. So don't be a tarki, but simply accept the version of the Lord and try to engage in some service, and then he can reveal himself very easily. So I was saying Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in the age of Kali Yuga, which is full of quarrel and full of hypocrisy. And it said, "Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadai Pushvanto Chitro Shando Tamonudal." That because this age is so dark, they've appeared just like the sun and the moon rising simultaneously. So if the sun and the moon rise all at once in the sky, what a magnificent sight that is. So in the poetical language, they're saying that the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is saying that the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in this age of Kali Yuga is like the sun and the moon arising simultaneously to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. And that benediction is that they've come to distribute the transcendental knowledge and this confidential knowledge that just by performing devotional service, then one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're very merciful, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They don't discriminate who's a fit or unfit candidate, because if they did in the age of Kali Yuga, then everyone would be disqualified. But rather, they go everywhere and anywhere. And in fact, we were reading last night that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he devised all kinds of tricks in order to bring everybody into devotional service. There are certain kinds of people who are very stubborn, who don't want to take to devotional service. And what are those people named in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Student class, they tend to be very argumentative sometimes. And none of the students who come here, though. Students, who else? Then there's the impersonalists, who are very different. Scientists, scientific minds. Then there are the karmis who are just attached to the fruit of work. Karmis, gyanis, yogis, all kinds of classes of people who try to avoid devotional service. Who just they have their own kind of idea, their own dharma, and they speculate in that way. So Lord Chaitanya, he compared that these are all undesirable seeds, for trying to understand the Lord by one's mental power or by trying to enjoy the material world and just stay here and make adjustments. But all those seeds for material enjoyment are flooded by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda when they bring the Sankirtan movement. And just like when there's a huge flood, the seeds can't grow because they're washed away. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they come and they give this process for understanding Krishna very simply to everybody and anybody. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a story about how when Chaitanya and Nityananda were traveling together to Advaitacharya's house, they came to the home of a sannyasi. Actually, he wasn't a real sannyasi, he was a fake sannyasi. They say he was a sannyasi householder. So when they came by this house and they saw there was this house, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Who lives here, Gosai?" He was speaking to Lord Nityananda. "Who's living in this house?" And Lord Nityananda observed and he said, "Oh, it's a sannyasi householder." They said, "Let's go in to visit him," Lord Chaitanya said. So they went in and they saw that this sannyasi householder was living with a wife, family in there, and he was dressed as a sannyasi, and he invited them to come in. Two traveling mendicants said, "Please come in, have a seat." And so they obliged and they sat down. And then he wanted to offer them some benediction, so he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "I'd like to," because he was an older gentleman, and he saw that these were two young people. Two young sannyasis. So he said, "So I'd like to give you some benediction that you'll be able to enjoy full happiness in the material world. Company of beautiful women, great wealth, everything that you so desire. I bless you that you'll have all this happiness." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "We don't consider this a blessing at all, actually." He explained that that's how I feel too. The real blessing is, he said, to be able to take to devotional service of the Lord and to experience a higher taste. And the man said, "Okay, now I've heard previously that when you give good instruction to somebody, then they mistake the whole thing, and they completely turn it around, and they can't appreciate something valuable. So I've given you this benediction, and you can't appreciate it at all." So Lord Chaitanya just held his head, it says, it's thinking that this man was completely clueless. He couldn't understand. So then he wanted to offer them some food. And Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were thinking, "Let's go, let's just get out of here." But then they decided to benedict him and stay. So they went out, took bath, and they came back and they ate the man's food that he fed them. And after feeding them, he said, "I would like to," he was what's called a tantrist, a left-handed tantrist. So he worshipped goddess Kali and he also drank wine. So he had some wine there, and so he was saying that, "Can I give you some ananda? Can I bring out some ananda?" And Lord Chaitanya didn't understand what he was saying, what he was trying to say, but Lord Nityananda, he had traveled all over India, he had seen so many things, and he understood what the man was saying. I want to bring you some ananda. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, "What does he mean by this ananda? He wants to bring ananda." And Lord Nityananda leaned over and he said, "I think he means wine. He wants to bring some liquor." So immediately, Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Let's go." And they got up and they ran out of that place. And they went and they jumped in the Ganga And they swam all the way to Shantipur where for their purification, where Lord Advaita's house was. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they, of course, they know the situation everywhere. For their pastimes, they were pretending in different ways, but they came and they gave special benediction to this man in his house, and even ate his food, and gave him so much association. And I was just thinking how, with our Sankirtan movement in this age of Kali, everywhere we go, when we introduce the Krishna consciousness movement, practically speaking, we meet so many kinds of people who have so many different kinds of ideas about what we're doing or what we should be doing. And most people don't know exactly what Krishna consciousness is, unless you go to Palo Alto and you meet devotees from Mathura who come out and say, oh, it's the Harinam Sankirtan, I'd like to join. Yeah. But for the most part, everywhere we go in the world, people don't understand what the process is, what devotional service is. But still, we go anyway, and we meet people at Walmart, at Safeways, at Santa Cruz, where everyone has their own idea of what spiritual life is, and give free advice to Akurnath and anybody else is there about how we should be doing it or what the real process is and so on. But that's the method of Lord Chaitanya, that he has appeared in this age to go anywhere and everywhere, actually, and to be very tolerant, to give people an opportunity to do some devotional service. And just by that process of devotional service, coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in this process of chanting Hare Krishna, then they can get an understanding of devotional service and begin the process. And otherwise, the world is a hopeless place, because since Maya is going on eternally, sometimes manifest, sometimes unmanifest, and living entities are bewildered since time immemorial by her powers. And unless they get a chance to hear from the Vedic scriptures, if they get a chance to hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they get a chance to come in contact with devotional service, there's no chance of being extricated from this and simply bewildered. But it's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that they're giving everyone a chance to hear and to become free from the influence of Maya and come back home, back to Godhead. So, Maya Javani Kachanam Ajad Hoksa Jamavyayam Nalakshase Muda Drisha Nato Natya Daroyata. Any comments or questions, Satya?
Well, I just remember what we were reading last night.
Microphone, please.
Was that you were mentioning there's certain classes of people that are naturally inimical against Krishna consciousness. They're surrendering to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, he had to devise means in order to present Krishna consciousness in a way that these people could take to it, because in their present state they couldn't. So he devised different means. And then Prabhupada's mentioning in the purport how it's really the business of the acharyas is how to adapt Krishna consciousness according to time, place, and circumstance so that people can take advantage of it. Because generally they can't. I was just thinking that basically we have three choices. Either we say that there's no spirit, there's no God, everything's chaotic and material, and consciousness just comes from matter. Or people say, everything is spirit, everything is God, we're all God. There's no reason to worship God or pray to God if you are God. Who are you praying to? Or, our philosophy that Lord Chaitanya is giving, that there's one God and everyone's part of him, but, you know, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam seko bahunam yoga dadikaman. We're eternal, the Lord's eternal. We're conscious, the Lord's conscious. But the one eternal conscious is supporting all the other little eternal consciousnesses. And therefore we pray to the Lord. And we see that everyone, when they're in difficulty, they're praying to the Lord, even though they're claiming the impersonalists are also praying to God or chanting the holy name. And the atheists, when they're in trouble, you know, and there's no atheists in foxholes, they say. You know, when they're in trouble, people instinctively pray to the Lord for a moment, and then they forget. You know, that now I'm just an enjoyer, I am God. But if we're a little intelligent, and we can admit our position, then we can, you know, pray to the Lord. But it takes some piety. And because people are so distracted, either to thinking that they are God or influenced by this, you know, teachings that are popular that basically say you are God, or being so distracted by material enjoyment that you can't think, can't see the importance of spiritual, of having a spiritual life, that we have to always. In each age, an acharya has to devise means to present Krishna in such a way that people can wake up and accept it. And I think it's a continual process that will always be going on, because times change, people change, and what they're interested changes. And so Lord Chaitanya had to devise means, and we also have to devise means to attract people, to give them an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And when we see that they're not, then we have to think, well, how can we present in a way that they can?
Thank you. On a personal level, also, we have to be careful to not become recovered by the curtain of Maya. Because that's also very possible if we're not careful in certain ways. For instance, if we make offenses, there are 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and if we consciously make these offenses or are not careful to not make those offenses, in other words, if we're not always looking to see how we're rooting out those offenses, then we've seen over and over again that devotees who take to devotional service with the best intentions can then become, can relapse and forget. And it's amazing to see also that 1 minute you see it, next minute you don't. This Maya Javani Katshana, that the Lord can actually pull that curtain of Maya for one who is making offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it's like a king who has a servant, and the servant has all the facilities and can come into the king's palace and has full access to every area, the kingdom, because he's a trusted servant. But if the servant becomes lax and he stops showing up on time, or he thinks that, oh, you know, I'm familiar with the king, I don't have to do these duties anymore, then the king, just to wake him up, he might lock him out for a while, or maybe even lock him up until he realizes what he's lost. And so sometimes we take to devotional service with sincerity, and then through lethargy or laziness or offensive mentality, somehow we might then begin to make offenses. Think, oh, it's okay to go back into sinful habits or something like that because I'm chanting. It'll be counteracted. Or think that something else is more important than my hearing and chanting. We can become lax and not do our regular hearing and chanting. And then gradually we'll come back to think that, why am I doing this anyway? It was much more important to make money. Sometimes, I wasted my time in devotional service. We become covered like that. So we have to realize that Maya is always right there. And the second that we forget Krishna, then we're in Maya. We have to always remember Krishna by staying in contact with devotional service, and we have to have a strong program every day to hear and chant about Krishna. And if we give that up, if we let it slide, then we may find ourselves back in the same situation that we were before very quickly. So especially important to be there. That's one of the processes of devotional service, just be there. You know, be there when it's happening. Make sure that you're there on the time when the hearing and chanting is going to take place, because just by that vibration, you'll become powerful. You'll actually have the impetus to go on in devotional service. So if you can arrange your life to be there, especially on time, when the hearing and chanting begins, then you get the full benefit of the process. Prabhupada once said, God helps those who help themselves. I mean, we have to also put in personal endeavor. And then he said, helping oneself means always placing oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. So we have to arrange that. And now we're going to perform the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, which Bali Mardan Prabhu is carefully setting up over here. And let's read the translation right now before we stand up, since that seems to be cumbersome. We already have the books out. Thank you.